Just suppose God searched through heaven, He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a Savior called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. But I'm so glad He was willing to drink His bitter cup. He set His heart to go to Calvary. Oh, I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a Savior called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Oh, had it not been for a Savior called Jesus, then forever my soul, then forever my soul, then forever my soul would be lost.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaddox. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. Brother Shaddox sang about Jesus and His wonderful salvation. I want to preach to you this morning about Jesus and His salvation. Having found your place, stand with me, and we're going to read one verse and then get into the message this morning. Verse number 21. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, that's Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is what? And he's going to do what? Save his people from their sins. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about Jesus and his salvation. Father, you're a great God. Thank you for loving us and dying for us while we were yet sinners. Lord, you didn't provide salvation after we cleaned up our life. You didn't provide salvation after we became good people. But while we were yet sinners, you died in our place. You purchased our salvation. And you have given it to us, and you offer it to all who will come to you by faith in Jesus Christ. Fill me with thy spirit this morning and let me preach with liberty this message you've given me. Lord, it's going to be very simple, very plain, very direct about the most important subject in the world to sinners and to saints, your wonderful salvation. I'll thank you, dear God, as you walk up and down these aisles, convicting hearts, showing people of their need, that you will save those who will open their heart's door to you today. I pray that you'll bring great conviction upon our hearts, upon those who are saved and not living to please you, that they'll feel ashamed that they've made such mockery of Jesus and His wonderful salvation by living so sinfully and carelessly after we're saved. And then, Father, to those who are not saved, that they might understand that without Jesus, the only thing they have to look forward to after this life is over is judgment and the lake of fire, inhaled forever and ever and ever. I'm asking You to save every unsaved person listening to My voice. And we'll thank You in advance for what You shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The message from heaven to Joseph was that Mary would bring forth a son, and they were to call His name Jesus. That means Savior. And then He said, "For He shall save His people from their sins." Now I want you to know, when we talk about salvation, we're also talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is not a Savior. He is not a good Savior. He is the only Savior, the best Savior. He is God's provision for our sin. What words can we use to describe the Savior, Jesus Christ? He is called in the Bible life. But we cannot comprehend His perfect, sinless life. We have to look at His perfection with sin-clouded vision. In theological terms, He was and is impeccable. He is without sin. Though He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, He is called love in the Bible. And yet we cannot fathom the depth or the height or the width or the breadth of His love with our limited and finite mind. Yet He is love. He is called light in the Bible. The purest rays of His life are filtered through minds that are depraved and twisted because of sin. The Bible tells us that this Jesus is omnipotent. That means He has all power and all authority. But our weak, frail, and powerless flesh once again struggles at the impossible task of understanding all power and all authority in one person, our Savior. The Bible tells us that He is omniscient. That means He knows everything. But again, we who are so limited in knowledge cannot see beyond our own vision, our own needs, and our own desires. The Bible tells us that He is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at the same time. You can't go anywhere where He is not already. But how can we comprehend completely the fact that Jesus is everywhere at the same time when we have trouble getting to one place on time? Jesus, the Savior, is all of the above and much more. And I have to confess to you, I cannot comprehend Him completely in His fullness and His power and His beauty and His majesty, but I assure you that I believe it by faith. Likewise, it's almost impossible to describe the salvation that our Savior has provided for us. Let me point out a few simple things. May I say, first of all, it's a perfect salvation. It's not a down payment on salvation. It is a complete salvation. When Jesus died on that old rugged cross, He paid our debt of sin in full. He satisfied every demand and requirement of the law. He satisfied God in the payment for our salvation. It is perfect and it is complete. Why? To try to add something to His salvation is to mock God. It's so complete and so perfect. This salvation is from God alone. It doesn't find its origin in church or religion or with man. God planned it. God planned it. When God planned it, He planned a salvation for sinners, not good boys and girls. See, the Bible says there's none good. My mama used to say, "Now, son, be a good little boy. We want Jesus to love you." But the truth is, He loves bad little boys too. He died for bad little boys. He died because we're all sinners. We're all bad. We're all condemned. We're all without hope and without God. He came into this world not to seek out a few righteous people to save, but to save lost sinners. May I say also, it's a free salvation. If I had money, I couldn't pay for it. It can't be bought with money. It's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. It's a free salvation. And again, you mock God when you think you give Him some little bit of this or that and pay for it. I read the story about a man who found the most beautiful pearl that had ever been discovered. It was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And he had a friend he loved so much, he was going to give that pearl to. There was not money, it was priceless. And when he offered it to his friend reached in his pocket and pulled out a $20 bill and said, "Well, at least let me give you this for it. How can you pay for that which is priceless?" And God doesn't require us to pay for what He's already paid for. It's free. It's free. And it's for anyone who'll accept Christ as their personal Savior. Now allow me in my message this morning to point out three important facts about this salvation provided for sinners through Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say, and it's complicated, listen, Jesus the Savior is able to save sinners. He is able to save sinners. Every now and then, some of these high school boys, these teenagers that are trying to be men, they're trying to grow a whisker on their chin, a hair on their chest. They want you to think how great an athlete they are. There's a group of boys out here shooting baskets the other day, and I said, "Let me have a shot." And I shot, and I missed it. And I said, "All right, you do better than I did." They shot around there for 5 minutes. Not one of them could hit the basket. But they'd want you to think they're going to the pros. You know, we talk about things we want to do, but let me tell you, when it comes to salvation, there's no talking about it. Jesus is able to save sinners. In fact, He's not just barely able. He's able to save them to the uttermost that believe. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Christ, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." The salvation of sinners by Jesus Christ is God's plan. God said the message from heaven was, "She'll have a son and his name is to be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sin." Man or religion had no part at all in designing God's plan. And when God designed it, He also provided it. You see, salvation is not only God's design, it's also God's provision as well. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God not only planned it, He provided for it. He paid the price for our sin debt. Salvation is God's finished product. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." Tetelestai. It means nothing else could be done. To the artist, it meant the last stroke of the brush has been completed. Anything else would hinder it, would hurt it, would take away from it. To the farmer, it meant when he had planted his field and the crops come up and he'd cultivated them, and now in farmer terms, he had laid them by. It meant he had done the last thing he could do. Now then, it was complete. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." He said, "It's paid for. It's perfect. Nothing else is required. Nothing else will be accepted. It is finished." It's a finished product. It's not man's experiment. He's able to save to the uttermost, to save completely, to save forever all who will come to God by Jesus Christ. And God forbid those who are trying to limit or diminish the salvation that God has perfectly finished for us. God is able to save any sinner and all sinners who will trust Him as their Savior, trust Christ as their Savior. Christ is not just a Savior, He is the Savior, the only Savior. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Jesus is the Savior. His salvation is a whosoever will salvation. It's not for an elect few. God doesn't say you can have it, but you can't. God says anyone who wants to be saved, you come accepting Christ as Savior, and I'll forgive your sins and save your soul through the death, burial, and resurrection of my sinless, perfect Son who paid the debt for you. It is a perfect salvation. It's a whosoever will salvation. His salvation is a all that cometh to me salvation. He said, all that cometh to me, I'll not cast one out. You want to be saved, you come to Jesus today accepting Him. And God said, I won't cast you out. I won't turn you away. No exceptions, no one excluded, provided you acknowledge that you're a lost sinner and accept Christ as your Savior. Oh, it's so easy, so simple. Just believe He died for your sins and arose for your justification. The Bible tells us that the condition that God puts on being saved is that the sinner must come to God in repentance of sin and faith in Christ Jesus. See, here's the problem with most sinners. They don't think they're sinners. Well, I'm not all that bad. But God says we're all as filthy rags and putrid sores. We're all sinners. And repentance simply means we come to the place where we see ourselves as God sees us. We have a change of mind about our sin, that it's as rotten and wicked as God says it is. It's damning, it's condemning. The only place that sin will take you is to hurt and heartache and hell. He said, you come to me with a change of mind and heart about that sin. And you put your trust in Jesus, and I'll save all that come unto me that way. The reason Christ is able to save sinners to the uttermost is because He not only shed His blood for our sins, He is our intercessor. And the Bible tells us He just keeps on applying the blood. Saves us and keeps us saved. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's not past tense. It means continual action. It doesn't mean He did it one time and it's over. He just keeps on cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just keeps on cleansing. saved to the uttermost. I love that statement. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to Him by Christ. You know what the word uttermost means? It means to the greatest extent. It means being in Christ furtherest, if there's such a word. It means to be in Him in the greatest possible way. It means being saved to the highest possible degree of salvation. Uttermost. That's the only kind of salvation He offers. He is able to save sinners. You say, I don't know if He could save me. Oh, He saved you and 100 more worse than you. He'll save you too if you'll come to Him. Second thing I want to say about this salvation is Jesus, the Savior, is not only able to save sinners, He's willing to save sinners. He's willing to save. He's not stingy with salvation. He's not up there holding back and holding out on people. He is able to save and He is willing to save. 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So what does that mean? It means He's willing to save sinners. He wants all to come to Him. He's not willing that you die and go to hell. He's willing to save you. He's already gone to the cross. He's already gone through the trials and the temptations. He's already been nailed to the old rugged cross. He's already defeated and conquered death. He arose from the grave. He's already satisfied every requirement of the law and every demand of God concerning salvation. It's paid for. He's able to save and He's willing to save today. Willing to save. Thank God He's been long-suffering with us. You know, you look at Jesus and His life, and this old world has done nothing but abuse God's Son and our Savior. At His birth, Herod tried to have Him killed. Throughout His ministry, He was rejected by those He loved so dearly and came to save. Finally, He was beaten, spat upon, nailed to a cross, crucified and mocked. Ah, this world has done nothing but abuse God's Son. And now the message of His salvation is under attack. This old world is willing to accept any way called salvation except God's way. Why, it's not possible that God could save somebody as worthless as we are and keep us saved. Well, it's not only possible. He's doing it. He's able to save and He's willing to save. He's able and He's willing. God's will is that we come to Jesus that we might be saved. He is able, He is willing to save even the most vile sinner. You're here today without Christ. I want you to know God is able to save you. And He is willing to save you if you'll come trusting Jesus as Savior. And thirdly, Jesus the Savior is ready to save. He's ready. He's not only able and willing, He's ready this morning. He's ready. Everything's already been done. Salvation's a gift being offered to you. He's ready to give you that salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for He, God, saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's ready to save you today. It's not in God's plan that you wait till next year or next month. We had a man here last Sunday that planned on joining the church in the new year. He died Wednesday. He wants you to be saved now. He wants you to be saved now. Now is the day of salvation. He's telling lost sinners not to wait until tomorrow, not to wait till next week to be saved. He's ready now to save sinners. The time is now, today. He's willing to save you. He's able to save you. And He's ready to save you this morning. Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come unto Me. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He tells us to come now. To come, all sinners come. Laden with your sin, come. We're invited by Christ Himself to come. He is able to save. He's willing to save, and He's ready to save this morning. Come now and receive the salvation that brings rest to your troubled soul. Jesus, the Savior, makes this promise to all who will come. In John 6:37, He said, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." Him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. That means He's ready to save you now. He's ready to save you as you are now. He's ready to save you from the condemnation of your sin now. He's ready to receive you and with forgiveness and mercy awaiting for you now. But will you come to Him that you might be saved? He's ready. Shouldn't you be ready also to be saved this morning? If you're here lost without God, He's able to save you, He's willing to save you, and He's ready to save you. The fact that Jesus is the Savior is able to save, willing to save, and ready to save tells us that the problem in getting people saved is not with the Savior or His salvation. The problem's with the lost sinner. The question we must consider today is, are you willing to come to the Savior that you might be saved? Jesus said to a certain group of people in the Bible, "But they would not come unto Me that they might have life, that they might be saved." Is this what heaven says about you today? God said, "I'm able to save." Jesus said, "I'm able to save. I'm willing to save. I'm ready to save." But does God have recorded in His book today that you will not come that you might have life? Let me ask you, are you able to save yourself? Of course not. The answer is no. Are you ready to die and go to hell forever? Well, only a fool would say yes to that. I don't want to die and go to hell for my sin. Well, why aren't you willing to come to Jesus that you might be saved? Are you ready to come to Him? I must tell you one last time this morning, Jesus is able to save. He's willing to save. He's ready to save. Will you come to Him? It's your choice. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to knock on your heart's door. And many of you here today are hearing that knock. Jesus is saying, "I want to save you." You've been living a lie. You've been living in your sins. You've been living a pretense. You know if you died, you're not saved. You know if you died, you wouldn't go to heaven, and yet you don't want to go to hell. He said, "I'm ready to save you right now. I'm knocking. Will you let Me come in?" Now let me remind you that Jesus knocks on our heart's door, but He will not knock the door down. You must open it and invite Him to come in. And the way you open that heart's door and invite Him to come in is simply come to Jesus. You say, "I don't know how." We'll have men standing here at the front this morning. You simply get up at the invitation and come down and say, I want to come to Jesus and be saved. And they'll show you how to be saved. But you must come to Him. You must answer that knock at your heart's door. You must invite Him to come in. He's able. He's willing. He's ready. Now, will you say, I'm coming, Lord? Today's my day. Today's the day I'm settling it forever and forever. I'm accepting Christ. Oh, happy day. Happy day. One of the happiest days of my life took place when I was 15 years old, when Jesus spoke to my heart and I said, I'm coming. That day I accepted Him as my Savior. And I've been His child, and He's been my God and Savior ever since. You say you ever regret it? Not one time. The greatest decision I ever made was to accept Christ as my Savior. Have you? Well, He's able. He's willing. He's ready. He's just waiting on you to come to Him. Heavenly Father, that's our simple message this morning. I wanted to start this year with as simple a salvation message as I could possibly preach. And Lord, there's people here that needs that message. They need the Savior. They need to be saved. There are people here this morning, if they should die where they're seated right now, they'd split hell wide open. They're lost. They know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. They're lost. They need to be saved. Help them to realize that Jesus is able, willing, and ready. He's already been knocking on their heart's door. You spoke to their heart while the preaching was going on. You spoke to their heart perhaps while the singing was going on. You perhaps spoke to their heart during the special music. But they've heard that knock. They know the need. They know the answer is Jesus. They know.